You're listening to 66.6 FM. Radio TOVH. The Flush.
Boy, howdy. You're listening to the Toilet of Hell radio show. I am Joe Thrashenkill. With me, as always, is 365 Days of Horror. How's it going, man?
Going pretty good. How are you?
Doing well, and I've got great news, listeners. Normally, this show is garbage. It's just not worth listening to. You might as well listen to, like, AM radio. But this week is different. This show is good. It is actually better than good. It's great. We've got a double shot of interviews for you with, like, really cool people. Double shot. They wanted to talk to us so that you could hear it. How about that? That's fucking crazy, right? So
what a world we live in.
What a world. We got Carly from Kenderia coming on in just a bit. A band that has spanned 25 years and a number of really great records. And then after that, we've got Charlie from Psalm Zero talking with us a little bit about his upcoming tour. So Carly and Charlie today, it's a good show. In addition to that, you've got us, and we're okay. We're not the worst. So news that happened this week, let me get my horn out. New 6 Feet Under! Unfortunately, don't get too excited. It's not another Graveyard Classics record, which, you know, why bother doing anything else? Instead, it's a record called Torment that's going to be out February 24th on Metal Blade. We know a couple of people at Metal Blade. Maybe we can get Chris Barnes on the show to talk to us about it.
Oh, I would absolutely love that. I think that's, since we can't get Orgy on, that's our new goal in life, is to get 6 Feet Under and to try to get Chris Barnes when he's sober and slightly lucid.
I have tried to have a habitual stoner interview me on the show before. It just didn't work out, man.
Shocking.
Anyway, they put out a single. It's called Sacrificial Kill, and it sounds exactly like what you would think it was. It is essential listening if you love generic death metal. In addition to that, two actually fantastic bands are touring together. Morbid Angel and Suffocation are going on a tour along with Revocation and Withered. And that is coming to my area. And it's probably coming to a lot of people's areas, not yours, 365, I'm sorry. And I'm excited. I am hella excited. That's like amazing. Three bands that I really love. So expect a report from that.
Do we know which Morbid Angel this is going to be playing?
Yes, this is the one without David Vincent. It's Trey along with... It's the Trey show, man. He's the only one that really matters, right?
Yeah, I think that's fair.
So, I'm going to try to meet him at the show and ask him about his anime collection.
So I've seen Suffocation once. It was about 2004. Four is when Hellfest, they're still an American version. This one was in New Jersey. And for those that don't remember, Hellfest was pretty much like hardcore and metalcore festival. And somehow Suffocation got on this. And when they played, I'm like, I definitely got to go watch this. This is going to be a good show. And there was a guy just parked right in front of the stage, long hair, leather jacket, probably like 6'5", big dude, clearly there just for Suffocation. During the whole set, he's just rocking out. He's enjoying himself. And one song comes on. I don't remember which one it was. And he just runs into the pit. And some little skinny core kid takes his spot in front of the stage. The guy comes back, picks him up, turns around, and launches him legitimately 5 or 6 feet away, takes his spot back on the stage, and goes back to headbanging like nothing happened. It was awesome.
Yeah, kids, if you don't want that to happen to you, you got to start getting swole. That's the only way people respect you, you know? So, let's go ahead and record, like, the closer for this as well.
Okay.
Oh, wait, let's do the transition, too. Last week, we had a poll and asked you guys to pick the movie that we're going to watch and destroy on the next episode. And by a pretty large margin, the victor was Rock and Roll Space Patrol, a trauma film that is available on YouTube for free. So you should, after this episode ends, you know, don't jump ahead. Don't get ahead of yourselves. You should listen to these great interviews. Go to www.youtube.com and type in Rock and Roll Space Patrol. Watch that movie. Join us again for next week, and we're going to get into the nitty-gritty of it. Right on. So, without any further ado, let's go ahead and get Carly from Kenderia on the show.
Well, I am broken. This life has left its stain. My scars were meant for something more than what I became. I bled my guts out. My dreams were made of glass. Forsaken, thrown out, cut down. Regret so deep.
Carly, thanks so much for joining us on the show today. You have been a force in metal for damn near 25 years now for Kenderia, is that correct?
Has it been that long? Yeah, I guess so. Whenever someone tells me that, it's like, I'm like, wow, it's like, I haven't been keeping track of the time, but I guess that sounds about right. Yeah.
So how does it feel now versus, you know, the 90s being in this band? How have you felt like you've progressed from there?
We're a lot wiser in regards to business, in regards to songwriting, even in regards to our friendship and chemistry with each other. You know, I think when the band first started, me being the only guy at the time who didn't know how to really play an instrument, the guys would write songs, and then I would bring my vocal ideas, my vocal patterns, or whatever. And so, to me, for the most part, Candia was mostly, was more about the music, and the vocals were, to me personally, sometimes felt like it was something that was tacked on, but it gelled together well. It's just another instrument, right? Now this time around, I feel that the vocals are driving, the vocals and the concepts are driving the songs and driving the vision of the band.
That's that makes sense. I've listened to your new record that came out was October of last year. While they were sleeping, and I can tell the difference there a little bit from the early records, where the vocals feel more a part of the complete package.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was one of the things that I told these guys when they wanted to get things up and running again. I'm like, it has to be different, you know. We took so much time off, and during that time off, I learned a lot and added more tools to my toolbox. And I wanted to make sure that that they would be showcased on this record. And these guys followed suit, and we're all pretty satisfied with the outcome of the album.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So you've actually, the record has a concept behind it. Would you mind sharing a little bit about with us?
Oh, yeah, sure, man. Basically, it's, you know, I wanted to, I've been like just pretty much paying attention to everything. Like, okay, how could I, I want to do something new. You know, Candiria has always been about pushing the boundaries and just trying new things. Sometimes things failed, sometimes they did, you know, well, but we're really all about taking risk. And I'm like, what haven't I done before? I don't want to come back and sing the same way, have the same style and stuff like that. I'm like, all right, you know, let's do a concept record. You know, I really got into writing a story and creating a world for the fans. So we made sure that the story took place in New York, you know, because I love this place, you know, and I like to write from a place of love, something that I'm passionate about, and I'm passionate about this city. So as I started looking around, I remember standing on Mike's roof. We were discussing, you know, just shooting ideas back and forth, and on Mike's roof you can see all of most of Lower Manhattan, right? And you could see the Empire State Building, and I just stood there and I imagined someone sitting on top of the Empire State Building, sending out a light and a signal, brainwashing everyone in New York through their cell phones and through social media. So instantly, you know, and so I looked at Mike. I'm like, hey, you know, what if, you know, once a day, everyone had to the population of New York City, everyone had to update their status. It was no longer an option. It was a law, you know? So, and so from there, like, all these ideas started, you know, happening, and we just started shooting things back and forth. And I started to see the story take place in my head. And so that's what was happening outwardly. And in terms of the protagonists, you know, she's a failed musician, addicted to drugs, all that stuff, you know, the typical rock star stereotype, whatever. And but because of the external circumstances, this world that she cannot that she can't control, so to speak. Like, her career is pretty much gone, and now this nemesis, so to speak, puts her in a place where she has to rise up against this new king of New York. There you go, something like that.
So do you feel any parallel between the work of fiction that you've created and what's happening in real life right now?
Absolutely. That's what, yeah, absolutely. I do, you know, without going, you know, too deep into it. I think stuff like this has been happening for the most part for like a while now. So I'm not really shocked that the two are almost like the same, like art imitating life, life imitating art. I'm not surprised by it for the most part. I was surprised by the election, by the outcome of the election. I'm like, what? You know, I mean, I'm like, the day we left for tour, that was the day of the election. And so we're sitting in a hotel room like, yo, what just happened? You know what I mean? And I'm not saying I'm pro or anyone or anything like that. I try not to get into that stuff, but it's just the outcome wasn't what we were expecting.
I don't think it's what anybody was expecting.
Yeah. Dude, I'm like, what? So some people, and like, it almost felt like, you know, it almost felt like another 9/11. Only because of how surprising it was. I'm like, well, I didn't see this coming. So that's what it felt like to us, because we're just sitting around TV like, dude, what just happened? Like, I mean, I didn't vote for either of them, but I just didn't see this coming. You know what I mean?
I never thought about it that way, but I get it. I felt pretty much the same.
Yeah, it's so weird, man. Hey, what are you going to do? Let's put it this way. You know, better get some popcorn. It's about to get real interesting.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah.
I just want to jump in with one of my questions. Carly, lyrically, you wear your emotions and your faith on your sleeve.
Yeah.
And you're pretty open and honest about what you feel and what you believe. Metal bands tend to, you can't really hear the vocals all that much, and stuff gets lost in translation. But your style is pretty clear. Is it difficult to be that open on record and on a nightly basis when you're on tour?
Just in regards to singing and like making sure there's clarity to my voice, is that what you mean?
Just your words. I mean, the lyrics that are coming from you.
No, because it's one of those things. One of the things that I wanted to do was like, I wanted to scream, and I wanted to sing, but I wanted to make sure that everyone understood everything that I was saying, and I'm able to do that live. And You have to go, even though it's hard sometimes, we can't always do it, but you have to go into every situation with a sense of fearlessness. You have to, you know, especially if you wear your heart in your sleeve. Doesn't mean you're not going to get scared, but it means, like, what are you going to do with that fear? Are you going to run away, or are you going to run towards it? Right? So it's like, I'm like, here I am. I'm being honest. It offends you. If it offends you, I'm sorry. It's not meant to do that. It's just meant to, like, hey, I wanted to come back with just complete honesty. Not saying that I didn't do it in the past, but, you know, I think in the past I was still trying to figure out who I was, trying to figure out where I fit, like, in metal, you know? And the time offs served me right. You know, I was able to just do a lot of a reflection and just look at my life, look at myself, and you know, and just wanted to just come out there and say, hey, this is who I am. Still, you know, though we disagree, we can still be cool. We can still be friends. You know, I think one of the downfalls of social media is like, you just, when someone disagrees with you, you disagree with someone, whatever the case may be, it just turns into this, it just goes into the gutter. You know what I mean? You know, we're not going to agree with each other, you know what I mean? But that's what makes this so awesome. It's like, we can have an open conversation and just discuss things left and right, but for it to just turn to like hatred because you disagree with someone is just the most silliest thing ever. And I go out of my way not to post certain things, because to me, Facebook, Twitter, all that stuff, I don't know if it's the best platform to go there. Me personally, I'd rather sit sit with someone face to face, look in their eyes, and have a conversation, so they can see that I'm not coming from a place of, you know, of hatred or like just like being a jerk, you know.
That seems like a really positive mindset. You know, your whole ethos here, it's very, I guess, hardcore in the sense of the hardcore community. That's a very PMA kind of thing.
Yeah.
Is that still where your head's at all these years later?
Yeah, just, you know, just kind of just moving forward, you know. It's like, that's one of the things I loved about playing in the hardcore scene, being part of that, you know, and going out with some of those bands. There was a sense of, like, unity. And, of course, you know, sometimes fights would break out and all that stuff. But for the most part, it was all love. You know what I mean? We can still get down. We can still jump off the stage and do all that stuff and play aggressive music. But at the end of it, we hop off stage, we're still smiling, we're giving each other hugs. And these are tough dudes. You know what I mean? Like, you can still like love someone and like smile and whatnot and not, you know, and not be a punk. You know what I mean? So it, that helped me in just in terms of moving forward. Once again, wear your heart on your sleeve, but you can still have a sense of boldness with it, you know?
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
You've got a bunch of upcoming dates, up first down the East Coast and then taking a short break and then up the West Coast. Mm-hmm. Is this all in support of the new record? Is this your first chance that you're getting to do this for the U.S.?
Oh, no. We actually did a small run in, I think it was October. November. We went out with Dalek. We went up to Canada, and now we're doing the East Coast again, and then out the West Coast. And one of the reasons why we have to, actually the only reason why we have to just kind of do like these smaller dates, because we're doing a big tour in the summer, a big festival run, and we can't announce it till March, but there's a radius clause. So it's going to be amazing. We're going to be playing in front of thousands upon thousands of people every day for about 2 months. But the sacrifice is we can't tour much in the States before the summer. To me, it's worth it. Yeah.
I mean, that sounds like a pretty good summer.
Yeah, absolutely.
Candiria has been really influential, especially for some of the newer progressive bands that have come out, like Periphery or Animals as Leaders. But we haven't really seen any Candiria clone bands. We'll get 100 bands that all sound like Black Sabbath, but we really haven't gotten any that sound like you guys. And yeah. Why do you think that is?
I think because, you know, I say this all the time, Candiria exists because we were born and bred in New York City. You know, you're able to just walk a few blocks and experience different cultures, different foods, and like everything is just melding into one. And that will have an effect on your upbringing. It will have an effect on how you think, how you carry yourself. And I do feel that is the reason why Candiria sounds the way it sounds. And it's such a hard, challenging sound, difficult sound to copy, because if you're from whatever, if you're from Iowa, which is great, you know, you're gonna have, I'm assuming you're gonna have like an Iowa type of sound, right? So it's your upbringing, whatever your surroundings are, but it's gonna be hard to kind of get that unless you're playing our songs like exactly, and then like, all right, like, it would be very, very hard to do. I would say, but like coming from where we come from is the reason why. I think why it's so hard to try to copy that sound.
Yeah, I'm originally from Canarsie, so I appreciate hearing the all the positivity for New York and Brooklyn. Nice.
Did you go to South Shore? Is that South Shore High School or no?
I left before then, but I definitely played for South Shore Little League.
Nice, awesome.
PS276, East 2nd Street.
Nice.
So years back, you were on Century Media, and you've kind of bounced around on a few labels since then, and now you're on Metal Blade. And how has that helped you guys out?
Metal Blade's awesome because Brian Slagle is different. And what I mean by that is he's one of the guys, you know? And it's not to put anyone else down or anything like that, but you don't feel like you're hanging out with a suit. You feel like you hang out with one of the guys. I love music. I love metal. I want to do my part to bring it to the world, you know, to further the cause, so to speak. And he's very passionate about metal. You know, you see it in his face, and like he walks around with like t-shirts, band t-shirts. I'm like, wow, this guy's like legit, you know. And I think that's one of the reasons why we feel like Metal Blade and Candir is such a great fit. You know, he understood where we were coming from. He's like, all right, you guys have been gone for a while. Pretty much telling us, if you want a tour, great. If you don't want a tour, that's great as well. I'm like, what? usually you sign a contract, you know, label tell you have to tour for a certain amount of time. And the fact that he, because of the respect that he has for the band, and also knowing that, you know, like, you know, we're older now, he was willing to work with our schedule, you know. And that was one of my concerns. Like, I didn't know if I wanted to tour that much, but now, like, I'm ready to. It's so weird. It's like riding a bike. I'm like, all right, I'm ready to go out. I'm like, man, what was that about? I made a big stink over nothing. I'm ready to go out, you know what I mean? So what's cool, he's a great fit for the band.
Well, that's cool that you're like up and raring to go again. I don't know if a lot of our listeners are familiar, but back in the early 2000s, you guys had a terrible van crash on the road.
That was definitely scary. It's one of those things where, like I said, you know, but when I woke up, the van was skidding upside down. The Mack truck hit us, and when I woke up, everyone else was thrown outside the vehicle with me and my driver. I woke up to him screaming, sparks coming in the van, and I knew I was going to die. I'm like, whoop, I am. And I just passed out. I just went into extreme shock, and like everything down. It was horrifying. But the minute I crawled out of the van, I was like, all right, how do we get back on the road? And my drummer at the time, Kenny, said the same thing. And his scalp was hanging, and like his face was covered in blood. He goes, man, I guess we're not finishing the tour. I go, what? I mean, I was thinking it, but you said it. I mean, you know, I'm like, what's that about, you know? But he was thinking, he said what I was thinking. You know, I'm like, we're, and the first thing I wanted to do was just get right back on the road. You know, it's what we do, you know?
That is a dedication, man. That is hardcore.
Yeah. Thanks, man.
Awesome.
I have two small Candiria stories that lead into questions.
Oh, brother, here we go.
What is it? So I like to check out dollar stores whenever I can. You never know what you find. Yes. You know, just go in, see what you have. In about 2005, 2006, I go into one up in Rhode Island, and I'm flipping through a CD section. It's all stuff I've never heard of, just foreign pop music, country music. And then at the very bottom, I see a green CD that says Candiria on it. Nice. And I'm looking at it. I'm like, there's no possible way this can be like the Candiria. And then the next thought in my head is, well, who else would be named Candiria?
Candiria, exactly.
So I spent the dollar. I'm like, you know what? If it's not them, I'll just throw it out the window. If it is, I got a great new CD. And it was your CD, Beyond Reasonable Doubt.
Awesome. So funny, because like when we go on tour, like you know, you're on the road for so long, but what to us an amusement park is Walmart or dollar store.
Hell yeah.
I'll spend hours there. Yeah, it's amazing. I don't know. But you were saying, sorry.
Yeah. Do you ever come across like seeing some of your merch or just your name anywhere that you wouldn't expect?
Julio, he said he was some a whole bunch of CDs in St. Mark's. And like, they had everything. And like, he goes, what? It's a Candiria CD. I'm like, oh, wow, look at that. You know, so I'm not surprised that they end up places like that. It's like, I think it's awesome. I'm like, wow, this is actually kind of cool.
And my other story is back in, this might have been 2006, 2007. The first time I saw you was at Starland Ballroom in New Jersey. And it was the weirdest lineup I've ever seen for a show. It was OTEP headlining, then you guys, American Head Charge, Blood Simple, and The Autumn Offering. Is that the weirdest lineup ever, or have you played something weirder?
I know I definitely have played something weirder. I can't think of it right now, but a couple of them, I'm like, what am I doing here? It's not coming through right now. That was definitely a weird lineup. Great show, though. You know what I mean? Great show. Every time we play Starland, it's awesome. But if before the interview's over, if I could remember what the weirdest gig was, I would definitely let you guys know. But I know it's Candy. We have some crazy stories, so sure. Definitely I know we have.
I've got one stupid story, but I want to tell it to you, and I hope that you appreciate this. I used to play in a band with a guy who was from New York. He told me that he used to play in a band with a guy who was a drummer. He wore a leather jacket every day of the year with a Candiria backpatch. Okay. And it didn't matter if it was December or it was 95 degrees out in August. He wouldn't take this leather jacket off. He asked him, like, wait, why don't you take the fucking jacket off? He's like, because that's not metal. I can't take this jacket off. That's not metal.
That is awesome. That's awesome. That is quite a bit. Here's why I can relate to that, right? I remember I used to wear my shades like all the time. And like, dude, you're indoors. I looked at my friend and go, cool, it's 24/7. I'm like, what?
Fuck, yes. Oh, I want to sample that. That's great.
Oh, I want that on a t-shirt.
And I'm like, what? And I meant it too. I'm like, whoa. I'm like, dude, what's wrong with you? I'm like, who thinks of that? That's awesome.
Oh man, I love that anyway. So much. Thank you for that. you've been doing this for so long. You've seen everything, you've done and everything. What advice would you give a young musician?
Oh, damn, dude. I'll tell you something right now. Something I wish that I would have done. I'm doing it now, but you need to know everything about your business. It will save you years of headache just in terms of signing either publishing deals or record contracts that you will end up regretting for like a while. Sometimes, because you're young and you don't want to save your money, you don't want to pay for a lawyer, but it's one of the best investments you will do because there are people out there who will, and rightfully so, they want to try to make things very profitable for them. So and try to get away with as much as they can, but spend the money, pay for a lawyer to look over everything, and every cent that you need to know, every cent that comes in, what's going out, what's coming in, you need to know everything. It's called music business for a reason. So, we get into this because we want to live the lifestyle. You know what I mean? Like, we want to be on stage, people adoring us, all that stuff. But that's only for what, half hour, 45 minutes out of the day? What are you going to do with the rest of the day, with the 23 hours and 15 minutes? What are you going to do with that, right? You need to know your business. You need to know what's coming in, what's coming out, who to surround yourself with, because that will help dictate just how successful you are in your music career.
That is some wise advice. We were talking about it just the other day. Like the multitude of lawsuits against Victory Records from artists that, said that particular label had taken them for a ride, much in the same way.
Yeah. Yeah. I know a band, which I'm not going to mention, and a publisher, who I'm not going to mention, who they, coming up in the 90s, they were doing very well. They were hanging out with all the bands, that whole, we all came up with the whole Killswitches, Hatebreeds, and all that stuff around that same thing. And they signed a publishing deal where basically it was for in perpetuity, like forever.
Oh, wow.
You know what I mean? So they just signed up all their publishing, and for the rest of their lives, their publishing would go to this one person, and the deal was horrible. And it's like, wow, well, this person owns you now. And it's like, I'm like, wow, that's a hard lesson, So, and like, we've had our share of lessons as well. And like I said, an interview I did yesterday, you kind of have to go into this never, you kind of have to have this never again attitude, and you have to take the time out and educate yourself, and like, if there's something you don't understand, take it to someone else or pay for a lawyer to look over it, look over the contract for you or whatever,
Yeah. Smart. That's smart advice. Yeah. Everyone listen to this guy.
Where do you see Candiria in 5 to 10 years?
Well, I can't say 10 years. I don't know. I'm kind of, we signed a multiple album deal with Metal Blade. And I know that we love putting out music, that I know. And I know we love working with each other. and the I would like to keep putting music out. So who knows? All I know, I would love to eventually have our own production studio and just like, you know, working with other bands and stuff like that, and scoring music for film, you know, and things of that nature. But I know that there will, for the most part, we'll always have this desire to come together and work on music. So that's all I can say, and at least in regards to the creative aspect, in regards to touring and all that stuff. I don't know. I love being on stage. You know what I mean? It's the being away from home for too long that sometimes is the issue, but I feel very comfortable on stage, and I feel very comfortable in the studio. So that's all I can say. Hopefully this thing will just keep writing, you know, writing till we're dead, I guess, right? You know what I mean? I got a riff. You're in a coffin though. All right, I'll make it work. You know what I mean? So, you know, who knows? You know, I don't know.
One last question. Any advice to avoid next day soreness when you're getting down in the pit?
Oh, definitely a leave. You want to take a leave before you go in, and a leave after. Definitely like a hot shower, and because you start to feel it, man. Like I used to just, I remember like playing shows with Hatebreed, right? And because I was a huge fan of those guys, climb and VOD, and climbing to the top of the monitors and just jumping off. So it's like I was one of those guys. Literally, I would jump from anything. I don't care if I just performed right before. I would flip and whatever. Like, and now it's like, you know what? I'm not getting paid to do that, so I'm just going to stay on stage. But definitely a leave, a hot shower, and you'll be fine. Rest up, and you'll do it again the next day.
Perfect. That's perfect.
Awesome.
Well, thanks so much for talking with us today. I think that we've learned a lot, and I'm really glad that we got a chance to sit down with you.
Awesome, man. Yeah, great talking to you guys as well.
In addition to that, yeah, that was great talking with him. We've got another special guest, though. Here it is, Charlie from Psalm Zero.
Hi, Charlie.
Hey, what's up, guys? All right. Yeah. Glad to be on board, man. I've got a pretty bad cold at the moment, so I might be annoyingly, hacking, throat clearing, that kind of thing. But
that's no problem at all with that. Is that going to be an issue for when you head out on tour, though?
We'll see. I'll probably be better by Friday, but. Yeah, and there's stage health, you know, they talk about in showbiz. You suddenly get well, you know, when it's time to play.
So, you guys are headed out on tour, it's Friday, you said?
Yeah, Friday we play Baltimore.
Sweet. Question for you. Why pick the dead of winter to go on a national tour?
You know, we didn't hit all the spots that I wanted to in August. You know, August we went out and did some Midwest and we went north, like up to Canada and New England and stuff. And I couldn't get the dudes, just Ron and Keith had a bunch of KO dot shit in the fall, so we kind of had to wait for them to get back from that to, to do some more dates, so.
Gotcha.
I mean, yeah, it'll be cool. Be cool to go down south, I don't know, in the winter. Be presumably a little warmer there, you know?
You'd think so. I live in Austin. You guys are doing a date here, and it is currently about 20 degrees outside.
All right. So, yeah. I mean, should I get dark about that? I mean, I don't know what to tell you. Yeah, it'll be cool anyway. Be psyched to play anyway.
Well, you guys are from New York, so you're used to, the bitter cold anyway. It shouldn't be too bad then.
Well, we'll have a pissy attitude regardless. I mean, the sun could be shining down, and we'll find.
Well, good. As long as we can get that. So
you just want to make sure we're going to be crabby. Is that, yeah?
Yeah, that's that sounds fun. Who are you guys taking out on tour with you?
No one. We're just going out. It's just us. You know, we're just playing with different bands in different cities. You know. And some cool ones too. I mean, Austin looks cool. We're gonna play with Street Sects in Austin, which I'm particularly psyched about.
Yeah, we've been giving those guys some coverage lately. Richter, one of our writers, is a big fan of your band and Street Sects as well. So I will rub it in his face that he can't come to that show.
Sure. Yeah.
You're also playing in Minneapolis, Chicago, and Detroit at the end of January. Are you mentally prepared for that?
You guys are so obsessed with the cold. I mean, I'm mentally prepared for the entire globe and humanity to topple back into, like, fascism and just barbaric, like, flames and shit. So, I mean, I am pretty, like, shit being a little nippy on tour. It's like, yes, I'm prepared for that. It's
well,
fine.
Yeah, but at least with fascist flames, like, it's warm.
There you go. All right.
You won't have to worry about the icy roads when everything's on fire.
Yeah, when you privatize all the roads and you can't afford the toll, like, you can't go anywhere anyway.
I hope so. It's only going to get fucking colder. I don't know.
Sorry to harp on the cold. We don't want to dissuade you from having a great time and, you know, touring the nation. We're just like, oh, God, why?
Well, I got about 10 inches of snow last night, so that's all that's on my mind right now.
So you put out... Stranger to Violence last summer, and a lot of people like really got into that. What's coming next down the pipe for Psalm Zero?
Well, right now we're just doing these shows and mostly focused on playing. You know, like I'm doing a little bit of writing, like just riffs and a few lyrical ideas. But I mean, we don't have any new releases or anything coming out very soon. You know, I guess this year I could see probably finishing up writing a new album, you know, probably by the summer or something. And then, I could imagine like, you know, next year, a new album. But, there's no new release plans, just doing little tours and local shows, basically, you know, like little two week tours. It's kind of how I like to do it at the moment, you know.
Yeah, awesome.
Now that Ron and Keith from KO Dot are at least playing live with you, Is there new considerations for writing new music to include them? Or are they going to have any say in what's going to come out?
That's a good question. I think that, I mean, I'm going to be doing all the actual writing in the sense of like composition and stuff. But I mean, with more just like arrangement and like subtle shit, I would like to get some of their input on this next, you know, that whatever the next batch of material will be, you know. I have like a couple of half songs written for that. But yeah, I would like to incorporate them more. And I think we're going to do some more stuff with live drums on the actual records, like mixing the electronic and live drums, which I had kind of, you know, talked about a little bit with older records, but ended up going just full on drum machine on the records. Because I do love that sound, you know, to in certain ways, but in other ways, it might be cool to bring in the organic, real drums and just Keith's whole style onto the actual album. So yeah, that could, Keith's actual playing style will probably come in there. And yeah, I mean, I could see having Ron, you know, come on guitar a little bit because he's primarily a guitar player, not a bassist, you know. Mm-hmm. Although he's an awesome bassist as well, of course. But yeah, I could imagine him hopping over to guitar and coming up with some of his own shit on new stuff as well. Yeah. Could be that way, for sure.
Do you consider Psalm Zero a metal band? Because I know there's, like, poppy hooks, there's some industrial sort of sounding stuff, but you also get really heavy. In your mind, is Psalm Zero a metal band?
Good question. I mean, no, but I mean, I don't really... I'm really so not hung up on labels and genres and stuff that it's like, I don't even... Like, my answer would be no, but, like, I think it's cool if people think of it as a metal band, you know? Like, if people who... Like, I'm into it if the people who... seems like there are people out there who are, like, deep, deep metal fans. Like, real fucking metalheads who love Psalm Zero and consider it, like, part of that. That's awesome. That's great. You know, as far as just when I formed this thing originally... you know, the concept was like, I just wanted to do something simpler, very guitar based and quote unquote heavy, but that wasn't quote unquote metal to me. You know, it was just heavy, which for me it includes metal, punk, industrial, post-punk, just all of that shit, you know.
Would you consider bridging that divide, trying to reach out to a more metal audience by, say, wearing a bullet belt?
Would I consider that?
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't. I mean,
you're a t-shirt and jeans type band anyway, but I guess image-wise, if you wanted to, you could certainly try to look more metal if that's the way you wanted to go.
I don't know, man. I mean, I like extreme metal was one of my first loves and always will be one of my primary, just one of the primary... parts of my musical diet, you know. But I mean, I was never really into like metal as this thing that's like totally separate from other kinds of music in a way, like, you know what I mean? Like, I was never into like purity of metal subgenre. I was never particularly obsessed with like pure black metal or like pure war metal or like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, the kind of shit that I was always really into, just first getting into music, was like Godflesh, Neurosis. I mean, stuff that's, I mean, it's metal, but it's cross subgenre, you know?
I get it, yeah.
Yeah, for those listeners who don't know, and in the interest of transparency, Charlie and Psalm Zero stayed at my place this past summer when they toured, and Ron and I, on my TV, played a lot of Ozfest and nu metal videos
yeah.
while they were getting ready. And Charlie was just like, what the hell is this? Is this Cold Chamber? Is everything Cold Chamber?
that was also a little bit of an age thing, you know what I mean? Because I'm like 30s and you guys are more like late 20s. So it's like, for me, that's not some like, oh, like, we were such dorks for liking that. Like, I was never into that shit because I was already into cool shit at the time that existed, you know, so
we have to go back earlier to, like, Life of Agony and Biohazard?
Yeah, there you go. You know what I'm saying? This is, you guys were dorking out on the nu metal. It's not that I was too cool for that. It's just that I'm too old, you know? That's what it is.
So what are you going to be listening to while you're driving around the Midwest? I mean, what's the music in the van like?
Just Tory, dude. Just fucking Tory.
So not a lot of Metallica and Deftones for Ron?
Oh, maybe. We'll see. I don't know, like, lately, what have I been listening to a ton of lately? I haven't actually been listening to a ton of shit lately. I have not even been on a serious music listening kick at all, now that I think about it. I mean, Keith loves, like he's really into prog, you know, which I'm like, I can listen to, but it's just not really my trip exactly, but there'll
like
be some...
Rush?
I'm definitely not a Rush fan. Like, really, really.
Look, that's a shame. I can picture you guys touring the country with you know, in a van with a wizard painted on the side, while Rush just blasts out the windows.
Wizards aren't fucking real, dude. No, that's real.
Well, you have a scary van. When you stayed with me and parked it in the parking lot of my apartment, all the old ladies and grandpas were definitely concerned looking at it.
Yeah, that van is. The van is ridiculous. It's a ridiculous looking vehicle to actually own that. It's pretty silly, but it's still running. I mean, it's actually still, you know, and I haven't had to, it's not too much of a money pit, so, but actually, yeah, I mean, the shit, you know what I'll be pushing on in the van, talking about shit that really is metal. I mean, it's like just stuff from this year. I mean, like the Auroch record, or Auroch, I don't know how you pronounce that, Auroch.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like that shit, and like, and the Blood Incantation record, like as far as like just contemporary, like extreme metal that I'm gonna be trying to get the bros into, it'll probably be that, you know.
Huge fan of the new Blood Incantation. That's one of my favorite records of the year by far.
It's, yeah, I mean, I didn't think I wanted to, like, I mean, it's kind of old school sounding. It's not, I don't usually look for stuff that sounds like older stuff, but it's just, I mean, it's just so good. It's just so fucking good.
Yeah, my description was a morbid angel in space. So it's...
yeah.
Going back to some Psalm Zero stuff, I was wondering if you could tell people a little bit about the Birthright trilogy and what exactly that is.
Oh yeah. Well, you know what? Like, I will tell you some about it, but it's the kind of thing that I don't want to like overly explain and go. Sometimes overly explaining this stuff just makes it worse. But let's just say that the past few years, you know, we all know, like, identity politics has been a big thing on everyone's sort of mind and lips, you know, like, for better and for worse, I guess. That was very much like me getting into the Jewish, into like Jewish stuff, which is only half of my background and not a particularly big part of my foreground. But a lot of the lyrical stuff with those three songs was inspired by the rise in anti-Semitism recently, but also being critical of aspects of Zionism and kind of wrestling with issues of ethnic identity or something. I mean, wrestling sounds pretty fucking dramatic for some, like, fucking half-Jew, but you know what I'm saying. Like, it's like, it's like my sort of being influenced by that conversation. And a lot of, a lot of that was, I mean, even though I wrote all the lyrics and, you know, like, most of that stuff musically, a lot of that wasn't influenced, a lot of those, that thought was kind of hatched by me and Andrew Hawk, now no longer in the band, but a lot of that was coming out of discussions that we had been having. So, and then a lot of it has to do with, like, various dark drug shit and, like, not really political stuff at the time, but I tied together all kinds of crazy shit in my lyrics in ways that sometimes it's hard to explain. But maybe, having said what I said, maybe that'll be a little key into feeling the lyrics deeper if you want to check them out.
I think you explained it well. I'm curious if you ever think you're going to, you know, trilogies are usually, that's it, it's over. Do you think there's going to be perhaps another trilogy touching on similar ideas in the future?
Not really. Well, not for Psalm Zero. Not for Psalm Zero. The stuff... the lyric, at least the stuff I'm writing for Psalm Zero now, at least lyrically, it's a little more straightforward and less about Jewy stuff at all. But I'm doing this solo stuff now that I'm like finishing writing this record's worth of, I guess you could call it, something that'll be like under my own name, that's more of like a orchestral pop, kind of synth pop, but with orchestral instruments. Really crazy project. That picks up on some of those themes, but like, but less edgy, I guess you could say. I don't know. I don't want to say too much.
Well, I'm curious about your solo project. Do you have any idea when that might be released, come to fruition?
Hopefully by the end of 2017, but it's so logistically fucked up. It's so logistically ambitious to do that it's a little unclear how that's going to really be funded, but you'll see. That'll go down somehow. I will say, actually, though, you're asking about, will those lyrical themes from Birthright Trilogy be picked up later? One thing I will say about that stuff is that while I still like all of those lyrics, the general, since I wrote those lyrics, the political climate, especially regarding race and ethnicity, religion, all this shit, has heated up even further and freaked me out even more, to the point where there are certain tropes and things that I play with in those Birthright Trilogy lyrics that I might be a little more cautious about now.
Yeah, you don't want your art being co-opted by Reddit nerds and alt-right jerks like they're trying to do with John Carpenter's They Live right now.
Yes, this is what I'm saying. This is what I'm saying. But it's like, I kind of fuck with those tropes a little bit and try to subvert some anti-Semitic shit and play with it and fuck around with it in those lyrics in a way that it's like, I mean, I'm not going to say I regret it, because I'm still like banging those songs out on stage, but it's like, the more I've seen, I'm like I might have phrased that a little more gently, or said it differently now if I wrote those lyrics now, you know?
Yeah.
And that was only like a year and a half ago. So it's just, I don't know. I mean, you know, yeah.
No one predicted the rise of anime Nazis. Nobody could see that one coming.
Anime Nazis, dude. It's like, you fuck a pillow, literally, and you want to start a master race. Whatever. Don't even get me started, but yeah.
I mean, on the contrary, I'd love to get you started. This is fun to talk about.
No. I mean, yes, well, a little bit. Whatever.
Good concept album.
Yeah, the rise of the Ubermensch and his waifu.
There's just, like, anti-Semitic tropes that I use in those lyrics that are, like, kind of, like, trying to fuck with trying to fuck with the alt-right and people like that. But it's like, sometimes sarcasm, irony, fucking with people, it can actually replicate, you know, the thing that you're trying to fuck with. You know what I mean? That's the concern. If you end up having to be constricted and like self-censoring and eggshells with some PC eggshells with your own lyrics, just so it won't be taken the wrong way, like, then they've also won, you know? So that's the other side too.
I hate to pull it back, because you know, you mentioned it a couple of questions ago, but I'm really curious about this orchestral thing that you're working on. Like, do you play multiple orchestral instruments?
No, I don't. I mean, I just, but I mean, I know how to write for them. You know, I've done chamber music type stuff, and, you know, yeah, like once in a while, you know, I'll get commissions to, happens more and more frequently nowadays. I mean, it's just something I'm really into moving further into, is just writing for classical ensembles, you know, which isn't to say it's classical music, you know, it's just like music for those instruments, you know what I mean? Like with the approach of notating, you know, fully notating music for other instruments. I mean, yeah, you don't have to like play, all that shit to like write for it. I mean, it helps, you know, to play a little of something for it, yeah, obviously. That, but I'm, yeah.
That is a world that is feels completely removed from the world of metal that we're used to. Is commissions?
Yeah, it is. And very few people are straddling that world. I mean, like I'm kind of one of the few people. I mean, Mario Diaz de Leon, you know, is like doing that more than I am. You know, that guy's even deeper and more accomplished as a classical composer. know, and he's doing, you know, Luminous Vault and Onirogen and stuff. Who else is on that tip? I mean, you know, Hunter from Liturgy was on that trip for sure. Both of those worlds. Yeah, this stuff, I mean, this orchestral, the stuff I'm writing, I mean, it's like my songwriting vibe as far as just, you know, melodies, chord progressions, just songs and shit, you know, like that you would be familiar with from Psalm Zero, but it's, you know, instrumentation wise, it's like drum machines. So some of that is from Psalm Zero, but then it's just less heavy on the guitars. You know, it's like strings, winds, brass, a lot of synth, a little bit of guitar. And so, yeah, it's not like riffy, but it's, you know, there's like a heaviness. I mean, it's definitely dark, you know.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm really curious to hear it whenever you've got something available for it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm actually about to start this. After I get back from tour, I'm going to start this, launch this Kickstarter campaign to like partially fund actually recording this thing. Yeah, it's yeah, you'll see. I don't want to.
Yeah, you don't have to spoil anything here. I will say it seems a little difficult to maybe take a several piece orchestra out on the road, though.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, for sure. It's like, but what it's going to be basically, what I'm doing is I'm forming this group that's going to be like my solo project band. That's just a quartet of just violin with a lot of effects, piano and synth, percussion, and then me singing. And then I'm going to do this sort of synthier band version of it, where like instead of all the orchestral instruments, it's just all synth versions of the songs with like a little bit of violin, you know, live, and then have that be like a live performing band. But then the record is going to be with like this full orchestra thing. And so then hopefully through that, you know, there'll be actual opportunities to get it, you know, performed with the full, orchestral group, you know?
Gotcha.
So yeah, so that's like, you know, that's all going to be under my own name, though. You know, it's like as far as the branding of it, it will be a separate thing from Psalm Zero. You know what I mean? Because, I mean, Psalm Zero, it's like, yeah, it's always been like mostly my thing. But I mean, it was collaborative with Hawk, you know, and it will be collaborative with Keith and Ron. It's just sort of, you know, it's like, it's my thing, but it's more about being a band, whereas the solo thing is just like totally a solo thing, you know?
Which show are you most stoked about for this tour?
I guess probably Austin, because just because we're playing, I mean, we're playing with a lot of awesome bands, but it's just, you know, just because like Street Sect are like not only awesome, but they have like some juice and like, you know, they're like, people are psyched on them right now and they're from there. So it's going to be like, you know, like hometown kind of party vibe, I have a feeling, you know. And the only time Psalm Zero's ever played Austin was South by Southwest, which is cool in its own way, but
also a giant shit show.
Yeah, I mean, it's also so shitty in all these other ways, you know. So it's just kind of like, that wasn't, we haven't played like a real Austin, like a straight up Austin show, you know. We were just playing like a crazy showcase or whatever. So this will be cool to just, you know, hit that. And like, I'm psyched for Oklahoma City, actually, also. So we're playing these bands, Last Minute and Esoteric. That's just, I'm psyched on that. Just not only are those bands cool, but also just my friend Robin is just booking the Blue Note Lounge there now, and he's just like super hyped, and he just moved to town, and he's like kind of I don't know, it's gonna be like reconnecting with an old buddy like in a new place.
All right, well, thanks so much for joining us on the show today.
Thanks for having me. Yeah,
if you're in the area of Baltimore, Columbia, Atlanta, Baton Rouge, Houston, Austin, Oklahoma City, Minneapolis, Chicago, Illinois, Detroit, Pittsburgh, or Queens, or other dates coming up soon that we will link below this post, go see Charlie and Psalm Zero.
Very nice, fellas. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Thanks, man. Well, I'd say that we did a pretty good job today, 365. What do you think?
Yeah, we managed not to hurt anyone's feelings or have anyone take a blood oath against us, so I'd say that's a win.
Yeah. I think that we should not push our luck. this was a great show, and I mean, that's as much as we can guarantee. So we'll see everyone next week, and be good to each other. In the meantime, follow us all on social media, at Joe Thrash and Kill on Twitter, at 365 Days of Horror on Twitter, at Toilet of Hell on Twitter, and all the same things on Facebook, LinkedIn, VK, as well as MySpace.
Hot or Not.
Adult Friend Finder.
What is it? What's that? What's that farmer's dating site?
Farmersonly.com.
Yeah.
We're on all those, so follow us and send nudes. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.